Welcome to the Smut Hive, where each week we, Jillian and Morgan, review a romance book, drink something yummy, laugh our asses off, and rant about what we loved, what we didn't, and of course, talk about hot, smutty sex. There will be spoilers, so if you want to read it first, close now and come back later.
We would like to note that this is an explicit podcast where we may talk about many taboo topics that include explicit sex scenes, subject matter that could be sensitive to some, and filthy language.
Hi, welcome back to the Smut Hive.
Hi, guys. Hi, Morgan.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
No, you're not. You're tired.
I'm
not.
I'm fucking exhausted.
Your eyes are like watering because you're trying to hold them open right now.
I know. We just did a test thing before we record to make sure that the sound is right. And I'm like largely, loudly yawning in it. I'm keeping it forever. It's like a soundbite of my life.
Great. At some point, she's going to have some kind of like blooper reel of all the crap that we do.
I'm planning on it.
That's super fun.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you buzzing about?
Ooh, well, this past weekend I had a 2-day softball tournament for my oldest, which is hence why I'm so tired. Mm-hmm. But it is officially fall here in Michigan. So it's 80 degrees one day, and sunny. And the next day it's 45 and cloudy and windy and rainy.
Cold rain.
The latter is what I had yesterday. Mm. Cold, windy, rainy outside from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So it was, my skin hurts. I'm wind burnt. I'm fucking tired. My hair is, you know, on the top of my head and I'm looking slightly homeless today, but it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
This is why it's a podcast, honey, and not like a YouTube channel.
That would never work out for me.
Or me. Like, if you've realized, it's been so long since we've actually posted a TikTok video that we've actually been in. It used to be something we would get excited about. And we're just like, oh my God, I have to shower and put on makeup and do my hair.
Right. I look like a troll 95% of my life. I feel like a troll. Like, I live under the bridge. The cold, windy. That's where I'm getting shelter, is under the troll bridge. It's fine.
I won't be there.
I know you won't.
I'm so sorry. That's like me. I can't do it.
I know. Nice. What about you? What are you buzzing about?
So what I did this weekend, my grown kid, is like, I need the new iPhone 15. And granted, mom still pays for the cell phone bill, even though he doesn't live here, but whatever. So we're on the same phone plan, so he gets all the same text messages. So fucking thank you, Verizon. Because
right.
You're like, oh, you're both eligible for upgrades. And I'm like, but we don't need that.
Damn it.
Like, it's fucking fine. I actually just even canceled Disney because Disney went up in my bundle that I get through Verizon. So because I don't want my bill to go up. I want it to go fucking down.
Yeah.
And Jaden is just like, so listen, mom.
Yeah.
Let's go. And I'm like, okay. So I did because, you know, he's my baby.
Right.
And he's got all the things. And then we decided the Halloween store was where it was at.
Oh. Mm.
So he's come up with a couple different things that we were looking for costumes for, but I was super stoked because he brought up Jimi Hendrix and I'm like, let's hippie this out.
Right.
Like, this is going to be awesome.
Hell yeah.
So he's off looking for that. And then he's like, mom, you don't need to crowd me. And I'm like, oh, okay. So basically he didn't need my opinion. He just needed me to go to the phone store. So,
and your credit card.
And my no, mommy doesn't pay for the Halloween costumes anymore. I might still give him a little Halloween bag of candy, but whatever. Anyway, so I just start looking for myself because I love Halloween.
Yeah.
I love to dress up. I pass out candy. My husband thinks it's super fucking funny. I have 90 costumes.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, what about a new one? I found fucking slutty Hermione and I'm obsessed.
What?
Oh, it was the best. And then there was, because I like princesses, I have all the princesses. Well, this one was slutty Snow White.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you're fun.
Right.
And then that magically went into like Harley Quinn, but like, cool, Margot Robbie, Harley Quinn, and I'm like, I can fucking do this too. And I'm looking around, and Jaden is like, can you stop looking at slutty costumes? You are a mom. And he said it in the middle of the store, and like four other women that were there with their kids just chuckled. And I'm like, keep it up. I will buy slutty Hermione and slutty Snow White. Show up to your Halloween party at your house with your friends and do a costume change.
Let's do it.
I'm gonna. That's what you get.
I love it. I love that.
I know. He's hilarious.
Moms can be slutty too. Moral of the story.
Fucking slutty Hermione. It was the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. I'm serious.
I'm going to look it up online because I want to know what it looks like.
It was worth like the 70 fucking bucks.
Holy fuck, that's expensive. I know, they're ridiculous. Jesus.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Okay, after all of that, though, yeah. We did read a book.
We did.
We read J.T. Gessinger again.
Yep.
Because, I don't know, this is like the 15th fucking book maybe we've done of hers. I have no idea. We love her. This is book 2 of the Morally Gray series, Fall Into You. I don't remember when we did book 1. It wasn't too long ago. She doesn't wait too long in between books.
I think this one just came out last week, didn't it?
Or week before, yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know what week we're on, but...
I know, right? We don't know anything. Right. Just go with it, yep. Guys. But this was a series that, again, because of JT and we love the way that she writes, we knew we were going to follow the series as it goes. So
right.
As these books come out, we will do them instead of just waiting for them all to come out and do it all in one episode because we don't want to.
We also don't have time for that.
We don't have time for that. So this is how we're going to roll. So for all of you fans out there, again, this book is newer. So if you don't want to know, stop because we spoil absolutely fucking everything. So.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what you got. Here's your stats. Yo. So your main chick, her name is Shay. She's out with her besties. You start out she's in a bar, one of her best friend's birthday. She herself is just getting over a really bad breakup and she doesn't want to be out. She doesn't want to be dressed.
Right.
She doesn't want to smile. She doesn't want to be around humans. She almost doesn't want to be around her besties because they talk about her ex. And she's still in her grieving period to where she knows he's a dick, but nobody else gets to call him that.
Right.
And I think her friend calls him like a twat waffle all the time
or
a deadbeat twat waffle and all the things your best friend's supposed to do.
Honestly, I love this friend group.
Friend group was great.
Yeah. They're super funny. They're super gross and dirty. I mean, gross, like minded, dirty. And they just want to be here for her.
And they give zero fucks.
Right.
And they're like, it's a hard lesson, girl. Like, we're here to hold your hair back when you puke.
Right.
For getting you drunk. But we really want you to go fuck somebody.
Right. Don't be fucking lame.
And the actual saying,
in
order to get over an old man, get under a new man or something like that.
Yeah.
That's their like motto for her. And she's like, you know what? Stop thinking about me. It's not my birthday. And they're like, okay, well, this is what you can do.
Right.
So basically it ends up being kind of like, a blackmail situation where the friend is like, I'll stop pissing you off by calling your ex the twat waffle if you go pick a guy in this bar and go over and talk to him for 10 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of really cool banter and a lot of fun that goes back and forth between them. But eventually she agrees because she has spotted somebody in this bar and she calls him. I wrote it down. It's so fucking cute. Now I can't find what I did with it. Oh, Dark and Stormy.
Yes. But he's also noticed her. So they're kind of like making eyes across this bar. But he basically, Dark and Stormy, I mean, it's because he's giving off a vibe of like, no one fucking speak to me.
Yes. But he's all like impeccably
dressed. But
he's very sexy.
Yeah.
You know,
smiling.
Yeah. Like, just, he looks mean.
Unapproachable,
but
really.
She's like, that's my target.
Because right.
She hasn't had that many drinks at this point, but I think her deal is that she kind of wants to do the whole thing for her friend to stop fucking with her ex, but she also wants to have, like, a connection with somebody because she's felt so dead and so sad.
Yeah.
And somebody that she will get rejected by and like never has to deal with again.
Yeah.
So that can put her back in her hole because that's her ultimate goal.
Right.
I liked it.
Yeah. Cause she does it obviously, but she's doing it under like the knowledge of this is going nowhere. He's going to reject me. All I have to say is like, yo, I just need to sit here for 10 minutes. Let's just not talk to each other so that I can leave this bar.
Right.
So she does, he picks him on purpose because he is so unapproachable.
Right. So like, you know, all the things, hot, mysterious, the big old scowl on his face, but she's feeling the tickle.
Yeah.
Like you instantly know from like chapter one, like desire is what's on the table.
Yep.
But again, rejection is what she's looking for.
Yeah.
And then you kind of go to Cole's point of view and it's very short, but again, written in dual POV, which we love. And Cole McCord. So he is the brother of Callum from book one. So there was Callum and Emery was the couple in book one. So Cole McCord, the brother, the CFO of the McCord business, we got introduced to that in book one. We got introduced to Cole in book one.
Right.
As we go on, though, we're going to have an opinion about
that.
But anyway, no one dislikes Cole McCord more than Cole McCord.
Right.
He absolutely tells you from the beginning, I am a monster.
Right.
I am evil. I am not worthy of anything. This woman is fucking hot. I desire her, but I don't want anyone in my space.
Very like, woe is me. I mean, you can tell that there's like a reason that he believes this about himself, but we don't get to that yet.
Right.
And he's just, I don't know. He just literally thinks the absolute worst about himself, which, why?
Yeah. And he kind of lets you know too, like, usually people don't come over and talk to me, or if they do, I bark at them.
Well, obviously, that's what you look like, sir.
Yeah.
No one wants to come over and talk to you.
And he like takes some kind of joy in a way of like being mean to people and unapproachable so that he can be in his little zone.
Right. It's very strange.
But he does like his drinks. So he's just sitting here, kind of people watching, yet not giving a fuck, and then notices, you know, notices her immediately.
Yeah.
And then kind of like thinks all the sexy things.
Well, she's giving off like the dark and stormy vibe too, because she's hurt and angry and unhappy. And so he's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I can vibe with her because we're the same.
Well, and it's like he noticed she was in her core group. She was dressed all in black.
Yeah.
And all the girls had like dresses or like you know, fancy, colorful dresses. Yep. And she's all, you know, dark and stormy herself. And then he also like kind of picks up on it a little bit, because at one point when they're looking at each other before she walks over, she like flips her hair, and now he's obsessed.
Yeah.
And it was just the way it was written.
It's so good.
It was very good. You're very interested, even though you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
These two people don't want shit out of life.
Yeah.
But they're going to go talk to each other and then see what happens. And then of course, bam.
Yeah.
The banter.
Well, she up front is like, listen, I'm not into your vibe, but I have to sit here for 10 minutes. So you're going to fucking endure this with me. We're going to talk for 10 minutes and then I'm walking out of this bar and you'll never see me again. We'll never talk again. So like, get on board, sir.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's happening. And he's like, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Who is this woman?
Yeah. Well, and soon she's just like, I don't want to be here.
Right.
He's like, well, then why are you here?
Yeah.
Well, it's a bet. About what? And like, she'll tell the truth.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't want my friend to keep talking shit about my ex-boyfriend. So then he's all, well, what's up with the ex-boyfriend?
Yeah.
And he gets it out of her and she tells the truth.
Yeah.
And he, at the same time, he's like, yeah, he's a narcissist, right? And she's like, yeah, I know that now.
Yeah.
He's like, you should have knew that then. Like, he's a fucker and blah, blah, blah. And she tells him all the things.
Right. But he does it kind of in like a condescending way. Like, you seem like a smart girl. Why would you be so stupid?
Right.
You know, like, so he'll say something that's nice, sort of, but then he'll back it up with like a jab at her.
Right.
And I think she's intrigued by that, but also he infuriates her a little bit and he just keeps going. It's a very interesting banter because it's got like an undertone of sexual tension, but neither of them are intentionally trying to hook up with the other. It's just a conversation, which is very interesting to me, because usually when we read a scene like this, one of them wants to have sex or hook up or get something out of somebody else. And that's not the deal here.
Mm-hmm. It's just a conversation.
Yeah.
But, and like you said, it was such a great conversation that they had, though, because you could tell she didn't want to tell she doesn't want to tell her story.
Right.
You know what I mean? But she's also like, this is a stranger.
Yeah.
This is a man. I can get his input or, you know, whatever.
Yep.
And I just need some kind of a connection, because she does feel that like pull, and they both have that attraction, but they have that pull to each other at the same time.
Yeah.
So she does want to know about him.
Yeah.
And he wants to know about her. But like you said, he'll say one thing that's real sweet. Like, no man should have ever let you go. He was a fucking twat waffle because he let you go because you're sexy as fuck.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, like, well, you look like you're smart. Why aren't you smart?
Right.
Like, you know, so the jab, and she's like, listen.
Right.
Thank you for telling me I'm a hot
But also piece. Fuck you very much.
But fuck you very much, you know? So they go back and forth with that. The banter, chef's kiss, fucking loved it.
Yeah.
They're both intrigued. Okay. But she's the one who actually propositioned him first. So in her mind, what we're reading is, my fire just got lit and my girly parts are tingling.
Right.
I'm going to ask this motherfucker if he will just fuck me.
Yeah.
Like, just a one night thing. I don't want to know your last name. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Fuck me into oblivion.
Right.
And I will walk away with great feelings and then get myself back out there. So she does. And he's kind of like, no. And so,
like, flat out, no, there's no explanation. Just no.
No. Yeah. And she's like, she's told us she's taking a chance on something that she wants.
Mm-hmm.
So she is mortified, which the way that she comes off is she was just like, Okay, well, that's fine. So I'm going to leave because that is a little bit embarrassing to, like, have rejection. But at the same time, fuck you, because I'm hot.
Right.
And I'm going to go back to my friends. And all he can say is, like, well, it hasn't been 10 minutes yet. And
yeah.
She was like, oh.
Yeah.
And then he'd say something else that, like, pulled her back in. Mm-hmm. So this goes on for a while, but Shay ups her game.
Yeah. Now she's pushing it.
Oh, she's pushing
it. Yeah.
But not in a pathetic.
No.
Like, not in a...
Just like, you're missing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, do you see, like, can you see my nipples? Like, I can't imagine what those hands would look like on these nipples.
Right.
And he's just like, oh my God. And she was like, you're the one fucking missing out.
Yeah.
You know? And then she was just like, I just have absolutely no idea what you would look like naked. And she was like, you know what? You would look like me on you naked. Like, just all the things. Yeah. And I'm like, get it, girl. She just
I'd be friends with her in real life.
I would totally be friends with her. Yeah, she's crazy.
Yeah.
And he's just losing his shit. And he's telling her, I know what you're doing. You do not want this monster to lose control of his shit because it will not work out for well for you.
She's cracking him. He's breaking. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Because he's like, you know, holding on to his chair and he's about to get, and she's like, we're in a fucking hotel bar, motherfucker, go get a room.
Right.
What is wrong with you? Why are we still sitting here?
And like, you look like you can afford a room.
You can do it. It's cool. Like, you know, no last names, just get to the fucking.
Yeah.
And he's even trying to be like, well, what kind of, you know, self-respecting woman would pick up a stranger at a bar? And she's like, shut the fuck up.
Also me.
And I'm doing it right now.
Right.
She's like, I'm never going to do it again.
Yeah.
So just so that you know, you're ruining my one shot of having this, you know, fantasy of a one-nighter. But, you know, he gives in. He has to.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much just kind of a thing where, like, he grabs her face or they smooch and whatever. And then he's just like, meet me in the lobby in 10 minutes. And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
And she does. And they get a room. Okay. So I think this is technically considered the most perfect one night stand that I have ever read in my life.
I could hop on board with that.
Because this is numerous chapters.
Yes.
Of not just the fucking, and there's the fucking.
There's a lot. Yeah.
But there's this. Like, this whole story that they make up about if they could have a relationship, what would it be like?
Yeah.
And it's so funny.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, well, tell a fairy tale, like, if it was you and me. Like,
yeah.
They're just drunk on
yeah.
sex at this point. But they're having all these very meaningful conversations that make them feel good.
Yeah.
And it's getting what they need in that moment without them actually knowing that that's what the other person, and it's not just sexual, but it's fueled by sex.
Agreed.
It was really good.
It was really good.
Like, I was excited to know because, you know, you're reading this book, you know who the main characters are, and they're having the one nighter in, like, you know, the first six chapters. You're
like,
we got more of you coming.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You know, it's not going to be a one nighter.
Yeah.
But you're like, well, damn, if that is how it ended though, they both got exactly what they needed. And it was actually kind of great.
It was great. It was definitely, I guess when you think about what a one night stand should be from beginning to end and how you wake up in the morning, this is it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it.
Yeah. And what we read in all of these books, that it's one of them just instantly doesn't, you know, either they reject the other person, like leave in the middle of the night, bullshit, reject the other person. And then it's just a couple of days and they, you know,
get
together or whatever, or somebody contacts somebody. But it's always just like, it's about the sex and pushing you away and no conversation.
Yeah.
And this was sex, conversation, sex, funny, shower, food, all the funny things and their personalities.
Yeah.
And this is where I start to see the Cole in this book is not at all who I met in the first book.
No, not even remotely close.
And I feel like you get the idea too, that he's also doing what she's doing and just letting go and letting it be, because there is a time limit on it. So he's being his truthful self with her and they're both just digging it. But no one is discussing that there's not going to be an end.
Right. So because I mean, she wakes up and obviously, like, he's gone.
Right.
But there's no regret.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, what did I do? Or, like, oh, God, like, I'm basically in love with this man. Like, I need to find out who he is. It's just, it happened. It was great. We're going to be moving on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we meet a side character that we'll have throughout the rest of the book. His name is Axel. He works for Cole. And what happened during the fun sex is that Shay had suggested, you need to rip my clothes off me. And so therefore he did.
Yeah.
And he owes her a new shirt. And so Axel shows up the next morning at the hotel room after she's like had breakfast and showered and stuff and getting ready to leave. And he was like, here's your shirt from Cole. And she was like, oh, and it's like some fancy schmancy crazy line. And she's like, okay, well, holy fuck, he was rich too. So yay. But then she's like a little disappointed, like, oh, it would have been great if he would have still been here, but it is what it is. My tank is full. I'm good to go.
I liked Axel. I hope he gets his own book.
I'm sure he will. Yeah, we'll explain a little bit more about him as he comes up with her, but yeah, she's just kind of like, this is a great memory. It's still the weekend. I'm still off work. I'm going to go and do a couple of errands. And one of those errands happens to be stopped by her favorite bookstore, which is called Lit Happens. Mm-hmm. And this is Emery's bookstore from book one.
Yeah.
So they're friendly, Shay and Emery, just because of the bookstore. But Emery kind of approaches her and says, you know what? You're awesome. Like, your personality is awesome. I like the conversations that we have. I have a client who needs a personal assistant. He's a CFO of a really big company. It's all very shush-shush. And he's a dick.
Yeah.
He cannot keep an assistant. He's gone through, like, so many, and he really needs one, but he legit is an asshole.
But I think you can handle him.
Yes, but I think your personality can handle him. Here's the amount of money. And Shay's eyes like bug out. She's like, well, holy fuck. I would work for the Pope for that kind of money, you know? So, but it's all like super secretive.
Yep.
Like no names are given. She doesn't know the company. She doesn't know the name of the guy. None of the shit. She goes through this like rigorous interview process. And then she finally does get offered the job.
Yeah.
So it's like her first day.
Yeah.
So she gets hired. She still doesn't know who she's working for until she shows up. And then the very first fucking time that she hears his voice from behind the door and he hears her laughter from behind the other side of the door, it is Cole. And he instantly he looks at her and she's like, well, what the fuck?
And he's like, no.
He's like, absolutely fucking not. No way. not happening.
Yeah.
And everyone is seeing this go down and they're like, oh fuck, he's losing another assistant. And Shay's just sitting here with the biggest grin on her face. And she's like, so here's how this goes.
Right.
Straighten your act up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to quit. You're not going to fire me. You're going to treat me with respect or I'm going to report you to HR. You need to fuck right on off.
Yeah.
And so he can't believe it. And then he starts to think, did you know who I was?
Right.
And she was like, I didn't absolutely know anything about you. And he's like, well, then how did you know about
such
this
a man
job?
Response?
Yeah.
Like thinking that she
gold digger.
Yeah. Like she was trying to get something out of it.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you idiot.
I didn't know who you were. I didn't have any idea.
Yeah.
This is how I got offered the job. And he's like, oh, Emery, that's my sister-in-law. And
yeah.
She was like, oh, okay. Well, she said you were a client kind of.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we keep it all shush.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I understand why.
Yeah.
Because you're an asshole.
Right.
But she's also like, you're going to pay me a lot of money to deal with you. And he was like, well, no fucking. And she's like, yep, no problem. But when you get his point of view, that's all he's been, I think it's been like a month that's passed by. That's all he thinks about is her.
Yeah.
And now that she's right here in front of him, he has lost his
shit. He's having problems.
He is spiraling out of control.
Right.
And everyone's like, what is fucking happening?
Yeah.
I don't get it. But,
yeah.
You know, they basically have this conversation like, don't fuck up because I'm a perfectionist and don't take it personal because I am a dick. And she's like, fine.
Yeah.
And then he's also like, we're not fucking.
Well,
like,
they have his company has like a anti-fraternization policy or whatever. And she's like, cool, fine. I don't want to fuck you anyway. You're an asshole. And he's like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
You know,
so you get this for a while.
Yeah.
And like, he even communicates with her through inner office memo.
I can't. That was so funny to me. All I could picture was being the guy that's
the
like
guy.
Moving in between their offices. Like, what the actual fuck is going on here?
Handwritten fucking
yes.
notes. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. But it'll be something like, I don't know, come to my office to go over this specific report. And it's actually not even a report
right.
that she's doing.
Yeah.
And then he'll look her in the face and be like, I can't fuck you again. And she's like, well, then why the fuck did you call me up here?
Right.
Because we're not doing that
right.
report, you know? And then he'll like be like, I can't. And like touch her boob. But I really can't. And like put his hand under her skirt.
See,
this was where I got annoyed.
We all know I hate a wishy-washy.
Yes.
He was too wishy-washy. He would go in a full-blown circle
yeah.
within two paragraphs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, bro, mm-hmm. what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Make a fucking decision here.
Yeah.
And she's just, and she's looking at him like, I am look how I'm describing this. She's like, you're fucking unhinged.
Yeah.
What is happening with you? Mm-hmm. All the while this is happening, we are also getting his backstory and like what the morally gray means mm-hmm. in this particular book. Mm-hmm. He's like a vigilante, mm-hmm. I guess is what I would consider him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And him and Axel work together.
Yes.
Axel like finds him.
Yeah.
People.
It comes out later where he actually tells Shay, but the story is that when he was in college.
Yeah.
Okay. So he met Axel and then they also met the other girl. What was her name? Kira? Kayla?
I don't know.
I don't remember either. Okay. There's a chick. Okay. And so the Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
Cole was with the chick for a while.
Yeah.
And what ended up
like romance, like they were together, like in love.
Right.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening is that this girl got raped.
Yeah.
And decided to keep the kid mm-hmm. and get over the trauma or yeah. work through the trauma and raise her baby. And while it was a baby, the some kind of legal reason why the rapist got out mm-hmm. and found out about the kid and then kidnapped and killed the kid.
Yeah.
And so Cole killed him.
Yes.
So he's rich and he's got this like CFO front of this business, but kind of like Callum, he dabbles in the right. morally gray.
He has the means to be able to do so.
Correct.
Yeah.
And apparently they now run a network.
Yeah.
Him and Axel run a network of where they help people.
Yeah.
That need to get out of horrible situations. Mm-hmm. And I think the example that we get like during the book is that there's a woman and her little kid that are getting beaten.
Yeah.
By the drunk fucking husband. And so they snatch the wife and the kid and set them up with new lives, new identities, money, apartment, yep. jobs, all the things to be successful, and then kill the dude and make it look like yeah. an accident. So that's what they do. So, but he thinks I'm a monster because I kill.
Right.
I kill shitty motherfuckers, but I can't tell that to her.
Right.
Like she'll never know me in that way. Yeah. So I can't share the biggest part of myself with her and I don't deserve it because I'm a murderer.
Right.
And Axel at the same time is like, you're just a fucking idiot.
Right.
Like, I get it that we can't have that, but yeah. you could have this now.
Yeah.
Like, you could still,
yeah.
you know, have this. And I think Cole is kind of like an all in or all out kind yeah. of guy. Like he doesn't want to have the half-assed relationship with
Shay.
He wants to be able to tell her everything yep. from the get-go, but no, she will never accept him.
Yeah.
So that's how you go on with that.
Yeah.
But then, of course, something big has to happen yeah. to change your trajectory.
Correct.
All right. So we're going to take just a quick break and we'll come back and talk about that.
Hey, Smut Hive listeners. Just a quick reminder. Don't forget to go onto our TikTok and Instagram page. Like, follow, do all the fun things. We also have a link in our Instagram bio that takes you to Spotify and Apple. Leave us a review. Okay, we're back.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, here's where we are.
Yes.
So, you know, we've got the push and pull.
Yep.
We've got them in a hold your boob, but tell you I don't want you all in the same breath.
Yes.
So, and she's down for it.
Because right.
she's at the same time looking at him like, okay. So she goes for drinks with the bestie, mm-hmm. the one who challenged her at the beginning of the book. But then this like scumbag creepy guy from her work, what was his name? Like Dylan or something like
yeah.
that, I think. He like kind of, he gave her the heebie-jeebies, like, when she mm-hmm. was introduced to him at work, and then he, like, quote-unquote, shows up at the same bar that she's at with her bestie, and he kind of puts himself in their booth, like, in their table, and then, because he's ordering them drinks, and they're having their own conversation back and forth, and not really including him, but he keeps bringing them drinks, and she doesn't want to be rude.
Well, this is a thing, too, where neither of them had problem being assertive and rude, quote unquote, to each other at the bar when they were together mm-hmm. at the beginning of the book. Mm-hmm. So I did not understand why neither of them were like, can you leave?
Right.
Like, what are you still doing here? Mm-hmm. No, I do not want to drink. Please get the fuck out of my booth. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand like why that conversation. I mean, I get it because it's not the storyline, whatever the fuck, but
yeah.
I just didn't coincide that like these are the same women that would let some weird creepy guy just sit with them.
Yeah. Well, what's the bestie's name? Chelsea?
Yeah, I think okay. so.
So I think from Shay is just, Chelsea is who she downloads to.
Yeah.
Out of the core friend group is the only one that really knows mm-hmm. about Cole.
Yeah.
And so Chelsea is getting, so like Shay's downloading to yeah. her. So she's not paying attention to Dylan. She's yeah. like, yeah, yeah, Margarita, fine, fuck off. You yeah. know, not paying attention. Chelsea, on the other hand, is just kind of like, I don't want to be mean to this guy because she's not being mean to him. And I know that they don't yeah. work together. So I don't think that either of the, they thought he was harmless.
Yeah.
I mean, Shay got the creepiness right. out of him, but she was distracted because yeah. you got to fill in
right.
the bestie on all the deets.
Yeah.
So that's what was happening there. But Cole is stalking her. We find it out now where he like saw her leaving. So he followed her to the bar, realized he knows the guy who owns the bar, decides to sneak into the back and pull the live security footage. So he's seeing her. And then he's also seeing Dylan. And he's like, yeah, she wouldn't give a fuck about Dylan. So I'm not really giving a fuck about Dylan.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, though, Shay, though, is like gone from the table and is woozy. And Dylan is holding her up and dragging her out the back door and into a car. Cole loses it because yeah. he's like, what the actual fuck?
Oh, yeah.
They rewind the camera back, all the things. Dylan is drugging Shay's drink.
Right.
Not Chelsea's, but Shay's. So Shay doesn't know what has happened. She's like completely fucking passed out. When she wakes up, though, she's realizing like little bits and pieces mm-hmm. are coming back together. And Cole is like covered in blood and her bestie is there. And they're not in a hospital. They're in that restaurant, right. in the office in that restaurant.
Yeah.
And like was there a doctor that came?
Yeah.
Like, you know, one of the mob doctors yeah. or whatever came. And she's like, okay, holy fucking fuck. And so Shay is starting to understand like, okay, there is something Cole is yes. hiding. He knows all these shady motherfuckers. And the comments that he makes, I wonder if he's mafia. Like, yeah. that's what she's thinking. And then what she didn't know, too, is that while she was passed out, Bestie, Chelsea, I swear to God, I think mm-hmm. that's her name, and Cole have a whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, they have a whole friendship that yep. starts because Chelsea had something fucked up happen. Mm-hmm. He explains to her something fucked up that happened. There's something in front of them.
Yeah.
Shay is fucking up and happening. And essentially, we know Dylan is no more.
Right.
He be sleeping with the fishes.
Right.
He is not
available.
He is gone.
Yeah.
Workman's comp is yeah. not going to be an option.
No.
Because he's gone.
Yeah.
And Chelsea can live with that.
Yep.
I'm down for that. I'm down. And so Shay is like, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
So Shay eventually understands, I can live with that too.
Yep.
Because this motherfucker was going to do all this shit to me.
Yeah.
And you took care of it. And
yeah.
she's like, oh, by the way, you're now my boyfriend.
Right.
And he's like, the fuck I am. No, right. I'm not. I'm running away from you as fast as I can. You don't want this. You don't want this monster. Look what I did. She's yep. like, nope, you're my boyfriend.
Well, too, and I think that she's makes it very clear that like, I don't care what you did.
Right.
What you did has zero bearing on my feelings for you and nothing's going to change that. Mm-hmm. I think she keeps saying it
mm-hmm.
and he keeps not taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I think it's finally starting to click like, okay, maybe she really can handle who I am.
Right.
Behind closed doors.
Right. But then that's kind of when he calls Axel.
Right.
To be like, can I tell her? And Axel's like, fuck no.
Right. But he's like, I want to tell her. And Axel's like, no, you're fucking crazy and going off the rails. And he's like, but I love this girl. I want to be with her. I want her to know me. And Axel's like, nope.
Yeah. I mean, Cole's going to do whatever
yeah.
Cole's going to do. But, I mean, like, she calls him her hero.
Yeah.
Like, you saved me. And he was like, I'm not a hero.
Don't ever call me that
Don't
again.
Don't call me that again. Yeah. And she's like, but I'm gonna.
Yeah.
And I prefer to do it while your dick is inside me.
Right.
And he's like, what the fuck is wrong
right.
with you? And she's like, I don't have any problems because you're my boyfriend.
Yeah.
I yep. mean, just the things that she says.
Yeah.
She's not taking his shit. And he can no. say some mean things.
He does say mean
and
things.
And he does say mean things.
Yeah.
And she just looks at him like, you know, I know you're full of shit.
Yep.
Like, I'm not believing you. You're in love with me. You want me. I want you. We're going to be together.
Yep.
And then again, he goes back to, it's corporate policy.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't think it is, though.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but it is. She's like, but your dad owns the corporation.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, but it's still a thing. She's like, yeah, I don't think that it
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
So, but again, he doesn't mind sending her an inner office fucking memo that's basically like, show up to my office
right.
and he takes her panties off
right.
and like puts her panties in his pocket and then he's getting her off, and then dad shows up, and she's sitting there, like, with her blouse all fucked up, and her dad's like, you got some lipstick smear, and she's like, it was a croissant. It got all over my face. They're just so messy. I'm so messy. Okay, I'm leaving now. And
yeah,
and
the dad's like, yeah, okay. Yeah,
okay. But dad doesn't take it the way you think that he's going to. And this is something else I didn't understand between book one and book two. Callum and Cole, brothers, they don't have any kind of relationship. Mm-mm. They, like, hate each other. And then the dad, they, like, are gruff and mean about the dad, but the dad is still in charge. But the dad is not a dick.
He's never been a dick in either of the books. I like the dad. I do not understand why everyone hates the dad.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I'm confused. I don't know if
something else comes out later on as we go.
Right.
But I was just like, I don't think, like, that the I'm dad's confused. A dick. Yeah, I don't get it. Anywho, so the jig is up.
Yeah.
As far as the family, you know, knows or whatever.
Yeah.
And but they're still, they are being professional. I mean, they do fire in the office, but technically they're being professional.
Yeah.
And the poor little mail boy that has to deliver the messages back and forth, that's just hilarious. Yeah. But basically, like, they're into this kind of thing. Like, he's picking her up, she's staying with him on the weekends,
they're in a relationship.
They're in a full fucking relationship outside of the office. They don't really talk about work shit either. And then, like, what was it? He was in some kind of a bad mood or something, and so she had wrote him something kind of sappy, and then he just wrote, or like, I haven't seen you in a couple of, or we haven't fucked in a couple of days, like, can I come up to your office for a nooner? Like, that was their code, and he just wrote no and sent it back. And she was like, what? So that turned her off, and it hurt her a bit because she was vulnerable, and she felt comfortable in where they were, and he reverted all the way back to no pushing you away.
Right.
So
that, 2 steps forward, 10 steps back.
Yeah. So that has to go on for a minute. And then it's like, I don't know.
Well, it goes on for a while, but then something specific happens and they're back on the right page. Yeah. Like, they're together and then they're, like, leaving the office together and they get into a really bad car accident.
Right.
And she wakes up and he does not at first.
Right. Well, and then nobody really will tell her.
No. So she just, I mean, I think Axel is trying to tell her some things, but she's, like, out of the hospital before he wakes up.
Yeah.
But then she does end up going in there and she sees the dad, and the dad's like, you guys are, I know what's going on here. Like, your farce is not working. Like, I like you. You make my son happy, blah, blah, blah.
And then he tells her too, like, we don't know what his condition's going to be, but if he pulls through this, he's going to be a dick.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a hard road. Yeah. Are you down? And
right.
She's like, I'm down for all
of it.
Like, I love him.
Yeah.
And this is, again, the dad's not a dick.
No. And I do want to say too, now is the time also in which we meet the ex, the one whose daughter was killed. Mm-hmm. I looked it up. Her name is, I think it's Kyoto, Kyoto. Okay. She does meet her at the hospital, and Shay knows who she is because I think Axel or maybe Cole told her the name.
Yeah, she knows the story of her now.
So, and they become friends, which I liked.
Well, yeah, because K-Girl still is holding a candle for Cole.
Right.
And Cole now has somebody new, and she knows, as being his friend and being his ex, she knows he really loves this girl.
Yeah.
So she's going to be supportive of it, but it is a little weird meeting at first. But here's what you got with Cole. So eventually he does wake up.
Yeah.
So his legs are all fucked up. I think he, like, is pretty much when he first wakes up, he's pretty much, like, paralyzed from the waist down. He's got, like, a huge scar on the side of his face, mini surgeries, hard road, whatever. The whole fam is there. She's there. He refuses to see her.
Right.
He says, absolutely no, she cannot come and see me.
She tries to go up there every day, and he says no.
But she sits there.
Yeah.
She sits in the waiting room with Emery, with his brothers, with his dad, with Axel. And one by one, they all get to go in and see him, and he refuses to fucking see her and tells her it's over.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it ain't, boyfriend. And I'm going to be right the fuck here.
No, it ain't, boyfriend.
When them drugs wear off, you dumb motherfucker, I'm going to be sitting right here all pretty.
Right.
Well, I think it's Callum that comes to her one day before she gets to the hospital or whatever and says he's been moved. to a facility, a rehab facility. And he does not want me to tell you where he is.
Right.
And so I'm not going to.
Right.
He's like, nothing personal, but I am going to do with my brother's wishes. Now, at the same time, Callum's telling Cole, you're a stupid motherfucker.
Right. Well, he also tells her, too, that Cole has resigned. He's no longer going to be part of the family business. Mm-hmm. And Callum kind of sneaks in, like, the position's open.
Right.
Now, I think that reading this, I thought that I thought that Cole at the end of the day wanted her to take this position. I think that was the whole plan. They just didn't tell her to take the position. He wanted her to take it on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't going to. Chelsea is the one that was like, you deserve that job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're doing. You've worked there. You know the family. You have an in. The dad likes you. You should go for the position.
Yeah.
She does. She gets it.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember, like, when he does talk to her or send, I don't know if it's a phone call or a letter or something, but Cole contacts her just enough to be rude.
Oh, I think he does it by letter.
By letter.
Yeah.
And he's basically just letting her know, like, this is really over.
Yeah.
Like, I know that you don't think it is, but this is really over. I'm not going to work at the company anymore. You don't have to quit. And that basically just to let you know, like, nothing works from the waist down.
Right.
But that's not true.
Right.
Like,
I
don't know why he lied about that. Well, I mean, I think that there were obviously during recovery, that there were problems, but she's letting him know, like, I don't give a fuck if we never fuck again. Like, this is real and I love you. And he's like, no, I'm not signing you up for that. Like, I may never walk again. I'm never going to fuck again. I'm not going to work again. Like, I'm rich and ridiculous and miserable. And we're all the way back to who he was.
Woe is me.
Yep.
Kick
pushing
rocks.
Her away.
Yeah.
So as she's dealing with the devastation of him actually meaning to push her away because she has not seen him and, you know, no communication, blah, blah, blah. Chelsea gets this idea in her head about, well, that position is open and you should apply for it.
Yeah.
I did struggle though, because I'm like, you've been an assistant for him for like 4 fucking months.
Yeah.
Why would anyone make you the CFO?
But she was something before that. She was like an accountant of like some major business or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just like, I think it was because we didn't really focus too much on work.
Yeah.
So although I felt like she was doing the job, but I didn't know if she could do the job.
Yeah.
I'm like, now you're going to be a CFO?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she gets it.
Yeah.
Yay. And then what happens to Cole? Like, he starts crazy.
Well, he's in like a, physical therapy, extensive physical therapy, but he finds out that she got the job. And so I think that was like his sign that she wasn't walking away or something.
Yeah, I didn't really.
So then he writes her another letter and he's like, I'm waiting for, or I'll wait for you forever or whatever the fuck you said. I don't know. But she was like, okay.
Yeah.
But also, you didn't fucking talk to me for, we're what, going on 4 or 5 months?
Mm-hmm. It's a long time.
You're going to need to work a little bit harder to get me. A letter is not it.
No. No. And I think what ends up happening is she's back out with Chelsea and the girls, and they, I don't remember what they're celebrating, and she's, of course, not in the mood, but she's been able to be busy with work.
Yeah.
But they go back to the same bar that they were in when she met Cole, and that makes her feel a certain kind of way. And then she actually looks over, and seated in their booth is Cole. So she runs over to him because just seeing him did it for her. And all the tears and whatever.
Yeah.
And then I think she's like sitting on his lap or something like that. And she feels him getting hard.
Yeah.
And she's like, what the fuck? And he was like, it happens sometimes. Yeah. And she's like, oh, so sex is not off the table.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they cry it out. I love you. I love you too. Blah, blah, blah. They get together. They leave together. And then boom, you get your fast forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like engaged.
Yeah.
Something.
I don't know. It's something like he walks with a cane now.
Yeah.
But he still has to have the wheelchair, but when he is in the wheelchair, he loves it because she's always on his lap and like holding on to him, and you know, it's all great in the world. Like, she knows
it's a happy ever after.
She knows everything about what he's done.
Yeah.
Like, she appreciates all of it. He, of course, can't be doing that anymore, so that's where it's kind of like Axel's the one that's in charge of all the vigilante type shit right now. So I don't know how that all works, but you do get, again, Killian Black.
Yes.
Showing up from, I don't even remember, the beautiful.
I don't remember at this point.
I always forget the name of the series he comes from, but he pops up in every fucking book. And essentially what he is he's telling her, you've got this CFO job, you're cool, like, welcome to the family. And she's like, I don't know who you are, but thanks, kind of thing. And he's just like, yeah, ask so-and-so, like Callum or something like that. He's like, ask so-and-so about the 13. And she's like, what? So let's talk about this 13, because we only get little snippets from the interaction whatever character has with Killian to understand what it is. So tell me your take. What do you think this is? Because eventually it's going to be a book.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, at this point, there's more than 13. And I'm going to go back to Raina. And Raina said at some point there's going to be more than 13 people. You call it that. But we're probably at 16 now.
Right. I have no idea.
I just think it's a major, like, vigilante crime organization that basically, like, runs the entire world, the whole underground world. One runs the mafia, one runs gangs, one does the finances for all of them, one's a assassin, one's a vigilante. I don't know, but I think that it's like this massive, like, criminal underground that no one really knows, but they're, like, running how the crime in the world works.
Right, but they're all good people.
Sort of. Well, some aren't.
It's where morally gray actually really means.
So I think that they, I don't know. I feel like they're like the Batman of, like, the underworld, kind of. That's kind of what I feel like. Because everyone that's in it is rich.
Yeah.
So there's copious amounts of money. So they can do whatever they want.
But they're all doing something.
Something different.
That appears bad.
Right.
But really generates good at the same time.
But there's, like, one from, like, each crime family or one from each organization. I don't know. But I really want this book to come out soon. It's got to come out soon.
I don't know how many more fucking people she can fit in it. But I'm pretty sure that we're going to get... In the Morally Gray series, I think the third book is going to be about the brother.
Yeah, the third brother.
There's a third brother. Yeah. So do you remember his name?
Cade? I think it's Cade.
Yeah, so he's the younger brother, of course, works for the McCord family. And what happens during this book is that Callum and Cole find out that younger brother went to their biggest competitor and requested a meeting. And that looked shady. And so they're like, for like a corporate takeover or something, like, somehow the younger brother is going to go over to the dark side. And what you find out from him, and he's like, well, that's just what it looks like, but that's not what it is. Really, it's just the meeting for the new chick that took over as CEO of blah, 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 blah. And they're like, so why? So I'm thinking, he's like, he's obsessed with this woman.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
So I guess we'll see.
But I really want it to be Axel. Like, I want
Axel's book too. Because he's got to work for the 13 in some capacity.
Yeah.
He has to.
Or even Chelsea as a side character could have a book.
Yeah.
Because she could hold her fucking own.
Yeah.
All the chicks that JT writes.
What if Axel and Chelsea get together?
Well, remember the guy who owns the restaurant that all this went down with Dylan in?
Yeah.
Kind of had some banter back and forth with Chelsea. And I think that Cole said something like, you need to keep your girl away from so-and-so. And she's like, yeah, I don't let my girl does whatever the fuck my girl wants to do, you know?
Well, I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But again, another amazing book from JT Gessinger.
Yeah.
I love this series.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great going forward.
Same.
Yay. So we do have next week.
Yep.
Defy, I believe is the name.
Correct.
Again, following along the lines of book two.
Yeah.
So this is book two.
Yep.
We did the original one. This is Sienna Snow.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Well, come back for that. Have a great week.
Goodbye.